What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 129 of the PS3 Blogcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah is working, I believe, so she will not be joining us.
Always working.
Yeah. She was freaking yesterday as well, so I'm breaking the illusion, but we're a day late on recording. It's a Sunday. So let's go ahead and jump into new releases for this week. The Killzone Shadowfall Intercept standalone, I guess you can call it game, came out. It's a co-op portion of Killzone Shadowfall, and you can download it without having the primary game, so at least you can play co-op with your friends. It's $20. Road Not Taken came out, and The Swapper also came out this week. PS3 saw Sacred 3, The Swapper, which I believe is cross-buy, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's cross-save between the Vita, PS3, and PS4. Ultra Street Fighter 4 came out on PS3, virtually anyways, it looks like. And then Vita got Metrico, MotoGP 13, tabletop racing, rather, and The Swapper. PlayStation Plus, Battlefield's discounted, Crysis 3 is free, which is awesome. If I knew a bunch of people that would play it, I'd love to play the Hunter mode on that, because the Hunter mode in that game is so fun. Let's see, Dragon's Crown is free for Vita. Destiny of Spirits gets some DLC. Let's see, Fez is free.
Awesome.
Across all three platforms. Metrico is free on the Vita. Proteus is discounted. Road Not Taken is free on PS4. And Sound Shapes is discounted on all platforms. And there's a couple other things in there. So PS1 or PS2 classics. And then there's some DLC. And then, like I said, there's discounts across everything Final Fantasy, it looks like. If I'm not mistaken, Final Fantasies 5 through 8 are, I believe, $1.29.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, they're like, or like $2. Like, they're each, but they're super cheap. Except for, three is still $9.99.
That's awesome. But I need to get on that.
Yeah. Also, Tactics Final Fantasy IV, the complete collection on the PSP, is discounted as well. And the Battlefield discount is like, makes it like $24.
I absolutely love Final Fantasy Tactics.
You know, I tried playing War of the Lions on my Vita, and I was just like, I had no idea what the hell I was doing, because I never played Tactics back in the day.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know what's going on. And it's like, it took forever to get through the opening segment that I was like, I have to stop, because I have to go do something. It's like, but I didn't know if it would save, so I was like, eh. But
it's a really good game. It's kind of tough to pick up and just play for an hour or so here and there.
Mm-hmm. So that was new releases. Some of the news that happened, a Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition got outed by Amazon and then confirmed by Square Enix. So for those of you who didn't play Sleeping Dogs on PS3 or 360, you can play on Xbox One and PS4. I know that game, I think, sold... How well did it sell on the last console? I want to say maybe close to a million.
I think it sold moderately well.
Yeah.
Not great.
But not their expectations. And I hear, like, everybody played it, like, said it was really good. It's not my kind of game, so I didn't play it.
I think it's just one of those games where it was marketed very strangely and people didn't really know what type of game it was.
Yeah.
Except for the people who played it and loved it.
Mm-hmm. But that'll be out on October 14th, it looks like. Wait, hold on. That's in the official news. I'm reading the initial outing of it. But aside from that, there was a picture that was tweeted out by the actress who does the motion capture and voice for Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider games, Camilla Luddington. And she tweeted a picture where she has, it looks like, a cap holding her hair back, and then her face is, it almost looks like it's spray painted with these different colored blue segments, and it's a new kind of facial capture tech that they're using. Instead of doing the traditional dots on the faces, it's just this spray. So I'm curious.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it apparently gives them, it's a fluorescent paint that's sprayed all over the face that gives 7,000 points of reference. And traditional facial motion capture is 90 points of reference. So we'll see how this works. But this basically just seems like an easier version of what Konami does. Because, like, Konami, when they scan in people's faces, they have, like, the Matrix set up when they're recording the bullet time sequences, where they just have the rotating cameras that all take a picture every, like, points of a second apart. Except it's, like, 100 cameras, like DSLRs, in a sphere, and the actor just sits there with their face, and then they make different expressions, and it just takes a picture from every possible angle, and it compiles it into the computer, and that's how they get the 3D faces for the Metal Gear Solid game. So this just seems like it'd be perhaps an easier way. Like, you don't need a bunch of cameras. You can just do it this way. So it'll be interesting to see how this turns out.
Well, I'm wondering if it's just easier, or if it's actually significantly, like, better.
That's, I mean, we exactly have that.
Really, yeah, good facial recognition.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Because this would be, if she's doing her performance capture with this as well while talking, then it'd be different than just scanning someone's face 3D and then doing the animations that way.
I feel like talking is one of the few things where facial recognition, they still get it wrong. It still looks strange when certain video game characters speak.
Well, because a lot of, not every studio has, like, does facial capture. Sometimes they'll just do mocap, and then they do the facial animations on their own. Like, Uncharted, the original Uncharted did that, and I think Uncharted 2 did it as well. Like, the animators will still hand animate, but base it off what expressions that the actors are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not everybody does mocap, but then you see games like Beyond Two Souls, where they do the dots along with the motion capture. But I'll be really curious to see how this turns out once they show in-game footage or like an actual game cutscene, not just the CG trailer. Let's see. Creative director Casey Hudson has left BioWare. He is the Mass Effect creator. See, he'd been there for almost 16 years working at BioWare, and he left. He says development on the next Mass Effect game is well underway, you know, blah, 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 just reassuring everybody that it'll be fine, that he's leaving. I'm not sure exactly where he said he was going to go to, but, yeah, it didn't seem like it was, like a bad breakup. He just left, and even the, who was it here? The BioWare studio general manager, Aaron Flynn, commented on the, him leaving and, like, praised him and his work. So I know some people got concerned, because there's a lot of Mass Effect fans out there. Mass Effect, jeez.
At the same time, they did say they wanted to make Mass Effect 4 closer to the first one, so it's both awesome and possibly worrying, but I think it'll be fine.
Let's see, what else? Evolve got delayed out of October.
That was
into
kind of a bummer. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a four-month delay. It's going to be coming out on February 10th, but I was thinking about it, and we went off that list last time. I don't remember if you were on that podcast, but, like, the billions of games that were coming out at the end of, in, like, September, or just in October, not including the games
there's
that come
out.
And, yeah, there's a bunch. But then it was Dragon Age got delayed, and then only by a month. And then Battlefield Hardline got delayed to 2015, which is fine, because I wasn't interested in that one. But then Shadow of Mordor got bumped up early, but there's still other games, and then Evolve got delayed, and which I guess is okay, because there was a lot of single-player games that came out in October as well. Not to mention Destiny comes out in September. So,
yeah, as long as Destiny doesn't get delayed, I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, because I'm not sure how much time I would have had with Evolve. Like, I would have purchased it, but I don't know if I would have played it right away. I guess not that it really matters, because it wouldn't be like a falling behind online, because you'd be playing with your friends, essentially, because it's, you know, five people. And I guess at that time I would have at least three or four. And then if you played, that'd be five.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to play it.
So it'll be fine. So, and who we don't know what's coming out in 2015 right away. So, I mean, at least there's a game to look forward to. And let's see, what else happened this week? I'm trying to remember. Going down. Gamescom is coming up this week. So hopefully we get some good news out of there. Sony keeps doing these weird teaser trailers, but no one knows what they mean yet.
Yeah. Sony, like, occasionally their trailers are incredibly awesome and they get you really excited. Sometimes, though, they just release trailers that look like they're from an art school project, and you have no idea what the fuck is going on.
But I'm sure once they reveal it, it'll be like, oh, it makes sense now.
Maybe.
I get it. I can see it. But Assassin's Creed Rogue got announced officially for the Xbox and PS3. It'll take place before Unity. It's like a bridge between the Kenway saga and what happens in Assassin's Creed Unity. So it'll be between 3 and 4, but it does relate to Unity. But it comes out a couple weeks after Unity, which is kind of annoying because it's like...
Yeah, I don't really like what they're doing with having that come out in Unity.
Yeah, it's going to suck because now it's like if it does really well and the story's actually pretty... Because I like the story in Assassin's Creed. Everything is going on in the background and all the stuff with the Templars and Assassins. And if it's like, if it's well, then it's like, oh, now I'm going to have to play this game. It's like first world problems. Who knows, maybe eventually it would be released on a PS4 and Xbox One. Who knows?
It just seems like a strange choice that they made two games like that. And it also worries me more because I kind of question the quality of it.
I'm sure it'll be pretty decent. I mean, if it's running on the same engine that Assassin's Creed 4 did, because there's still some boat combat in Rogue. And like I said, I like the concept where you were an assassin, but now you're a Templar and you're hunting down other assassins. That sounds kind of cool. I mean, not that I'm rooting for the Templars, but I always like when I listen to podcasts and people are talking about this and they have no idea what is happening. They have no idea what the story is of Assassin's Creed, but they've been playing almost every game, but they don't know. They just play for the gameplay. Like, so tell me what's happening with the Assassins and Templars. Like, they have no... I'm like, this game,
you know,
series has been around forever.
You gotta give them a bit of a break because the storyline is pretty fucking convoluted. Like, I remember the end of the first game. They just showed a whole bunch of random shit and nobody had any idea what was going on.
Well, yeah, of course, because then you had no idea. Well, you learn that you're captured by the Templars through all the emails and all that stuff, and that Lucy is an assassin, and spoilers, later you find out she's a double... Well, Juno tells you she's a double agent, but...
Yeah, but they aren't the best at storytelling in those games. It's an interesting story. Well, I would say it's an interesting world, but the story isn't that great. Like, they built a really cool world, but they don't know how to tell the story about that world very well.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are good, and some of them are kind of like, But, let's see here. I guess that's it for news. I was trying to see what else happened, but like I said, until Gamescom.
What are you looking forward to for Gamescom?
I'm hoping either, I'm blanking on the studio.
Guerrilla Games.
Guerrilla Games or Quantic Dream. I hope either both or one of them shows what they're working on. Probably Guerrilla.
I really want to see what Guerrilla's game is because they said it was an MMO. Mm-hmm. Or not an MMO, just an open world RPG.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, but... and I'm hoping more Metal Gear, I guess.
But... I don't know. Aside from Guerrilla Games, I mean, it'd be nice to see Media Molecules project a bit more. And you have to figure since it's not an American conference that Guerrilla and Media Molecule will probably have more of a presence there.
Yeah, but I can see them doing like Guerrilla here and then saving Media Molecule for maybe Tokyo Game Show, perhaps.
I'd be fine with that.
But
yeah, mostly I just want to see Guerrilla because they're kind of hit or miss for me. I feel like I loved Killzone 2.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, most of their games have kind of been... They've fallen a little bit short for me. Like, they just haven't had that unique flair to keep my interest.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping that whatever the new IP is that they're working on, that kind of brings that back.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't remember seeing which day. I know they announced the day of their conference weeks back, but I don't remember... Okay, here it is. Let me click conference time and date. So the Sony will be Tuesday at 10 p.m. Pacific. And yeah, so 10 p.m. Well, I'll be at work. So I'll just have to read about it.
Or you can just listen to it at work.
Nah, because I wouldn't want to listen. I'd rather, like, watch it, but...
It's understandable.
Too bad Google Glass doesn't just get one of those and be like, there we go. Show some video of it if it worked like that. But So I guess that'll be for the news. Did you download and play The Swapper?
I did, yes.
That's a good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game.
Yeah.
I picked up Swapper and Fez this week.
Yeah, I beat Swapper the other day, finally, because I kept like playing only a little bit at a time. But, man, there's some... At the end, the like later section of the game, there's some challenging puzzles.
Yeah.
It's.
I mean, it's got some really good puzzles, and it's kind of a dark story.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I thought was cool. It was like a puzzle game that, you know, has this story going on in the background that you're so seeing. And then, yeah. But my issue, like, I understood every mechanic name, but it's like the problem I always ran into near the end was when it was a puzzle that involved killing one of your clones in order to generate the last one you need to get to where you have to get. Like, I don't know why. Like, I understood, like, the light, manipulating the lights, hitting the switches, and doing all that, and what I had to do there. But then it's like the last step would be like, oh, you have to make sure you position yourself like this. That way you can jump and you absorb the clone, and then you can turn around and shoot your clone in there. Like, for some reason, those ones took me the longest. And, like, one I was stuck on, I was like, okay, I need to figure out how to do this. So I had to, like, look it up.
I think I had to look up one puzzle because it was late at night and I just got really frustrated.
Exactly.
Usually, yeah. I don't do that with puzzle games. And this one, like, it is a fair puzzle game. But for some reason, I just got, like, really frustrated.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, as soon as I look it up, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't realize that's all I have to do.
Well, I look at it, and it's, like I said, it'll be that one thing. It'll be like, I had everything down. I just didn't position my main guy in one way to where I could kill one of the clones. And like I said, I understood the swapping, the teleporting, all the lights, but it was like, because you don't always have to kill a clone in some of the early puzzles. And it's only in the late ones, there's only a couple where it's like, oh, you have to do this in order to do... You know, it's like, oh, you just have to do this one little thing. And I don't know why it's like that game mechanic would just escape me because I never had to do it earlier in the game. So they teach me all these other stuff and they introduce this one thing that I don't even think about because I forget I can do it. And it's like, damn it. But yeah, it was late at night and I was like, you know what? I'll just give it to the morning because usually in a video game when I get stuck, when I'm tired, the next morning that gives me some fresh eyes and I can see it. I'm like, oh, here's the solution. But then I spent a while on it. I was like, I ain't got time for this. I was like, I gotta look it up. But yeah, then like I said, it happens, and I'm like, I was right there. I just missed that one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a.
Did you pick great up game. Fez too?
No, I did not.
Oh, I enjoyed that quite a bit. You know, get a lot of shit over Phil Fish and all the drama he caused before, but the game is really fun, and I haven't had any graphical issues with it or. Bugs with it on the PS3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll probably have to check that out at some point.
It's a good one. It's, I don't know, I wouldn't quite call it a puzzle game because not many of the puzzles are very difficult. It's more of like an exploration kind of platforming adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun, which, you know, that's pretty much the most important part.
Yeah. Let's see here. Man, so I have an email I want to get to. Not an email, it's a comment on the last podcast from Jason that we'll talk about in a sec. But I picked up another PS4 the other day. So I was like, all right, I'll get this one so I can do that 14 and play another game at the same time. And also now I can let my roommate use it. And so we can play The Last of Us multiplayer, which we played some last night with my cousin. Man, Last of Us multiplayer is so good.
It is. I never thought I would enjoy it. I kind of thought I would hate it, and I went in with a negative opinion, and I still enjoyed it quite a bit.
Do you have it on PS4?
I do not. I want to get the remastered version still.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think GameStop's still doing it, but they had that discount where you get it for like $20 if you turn in your PS3 version. But I think it's already over.
No, I want to keep my PS3 version because I have a limited edition one.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, I have to keep it.
Yeah, but I was learning some DRM stuff, and I realized the one thing you can't do is, obviously you can't log into both at once, because, you know, it's just like on PS3. But you can only, on your primary, you can stay signed out and still play your digital content without being logged into the PSN. But on your secondary one, you have to log in. The downside to this is that the game I'm currently playing is The Last of Us. So I have it digitally, but FF14 is digital, so I can't be on both at the same time, which is one of my original intents of having the two. But then I still have to play Sniper Elite, so I just played Sniper Elite on one of them and was on FF on the other. But I had this weird thing on The Last of Us, and I don't know if it's because of the two PS4 setups, but I was in a party. My roommate was playing on my primary, so he could play my games while he's logged in, and then I log into my secondary and log in, so we both play The Last of Us. My cousin's down in the city with his girlfriend, so he logs in. And we play a private game. We all load in the private game real quick just so I could teach my roommate the ropes on the controls and what you can do. But then when we went to search for an actual game, I'm standing over by my roommate and I'm showing him some stuff, and so I can't see my TV. All of a sudden I go back towards my TV, lower layer, and I'm loading up into a game. But him and my cousin are still in the lobby. So then I load up a game, I'm like, well, they're not there. So I back out, not thinking. So then instantly, like, 30 of my survivors are hungry because I didn't play the match. And then, so I was like, oh, damn it. And I was like, well, I just lost that. So then we tried again. And same thing happens. Or we all load up, but as it's loading, they get booted. And then it's just me and some other guy. But I don't want to leave because I don't want my survivors to die, because I still want to keep leveling up. And so I play the match, get my supplies, and it ends. And for some reason, we couldn't connect. But when my cousin hosted, then my roommate and my cousin joined a game on their own, and then they backed out. And then my cousin hosted the party, and we searched, we all get in. So I don't know if for some reason it won't let either him and I do it because of we're on the same internet connection, or if there's some kind of NAT issue.
That's really strange.
Yeah, it's weird. It reminds me of when on Battlefield 3, when we used to play, and he'd play on his PS3 and I play on mine, but if he was in the middle of a game and I turned on the game, once the game pinged the Battlelog servers, it would boot him from his game and vice versa. So, like, if we're going to play Battlefield, we had to boot up at the same time, or I had to wait until his match was over so I didn't kick him accidentally.
That seems more like it has to be a bug than...
Yeah. That, I think, is like a network thing, probably. But we never solved it. And sometimes it wouldn't do it. Like, I thought maybe if I was like, okay, well, if I signed in first and then logged in and did it. So what I do is I wouldn't sign in to the PSN. I boot the game, then sign in, see if that would help. But it didn't seem to matter sometimes. But at least now we know, at least if we do a matchmaking, we'll just have my cousin host the party. And the only downside to playing when you don't have a full team of four is that it takes a while to search for other parties.
For The Last of Us?
Yeah.
Is that just the remastered version? Because I never had that problem with the PS3 version.
It's just remastered at the moment. I think that could be one because the population isn't that high on the PS4 version,
yeah,
despite selling well.
Lower install base.
Also, it could be like, for example, me and my cousin, when we were playing earlier this week, it was just him and I. So we have two of us in a party, and so it's looking for people. So it has to fill the enemy team, or at least get four people who are searching for one team, and then people to fill for our side. So traditionally, you think it'd be one team of two, and then any configuration of teams. You know, so we can get two teams of two parties of three, you know, and so forth. But what would happen is if we couldn't find one, it would just group us up with two parties of three and then split us apart. So we'd be on opposite teams, which was kind of annoying. But we just played those out a couple rounds and we backed out.
Now, does the remastered version share trophies with the PS3 version, or is it a different game?
No, they're separate lists.
Okay, so you can get two 100%.
Yeah, if you wanted.
Oh, I want to. Yeah. I love that game. It's worth it.
But, man, I got to the basement of the hotel the other day when I was playing. I was like, oh, I hate this section. This section is so creepy.
I don't know. That's still one. So I think I've beat the game like 3 or 4 times now. That's still such a, like a mentally draining game where I have to like set it down every hour and a half or so, or I just can't play it because it depresses me.
That game's so fun. Yeah, I love the multiplayer, just playing the thing and trying to record some footage and just start up this new I haven't played Interrogation yet, but that interrogation game type seems like it'd be kind of fun.
Oh, I haven't even looked into what it is.
It's essentially where you have your teams, and then when you down someone, instead of executions, you have an interrogate. So you get on top of them, and it basically it's the same animation length as a execution, except you're trying to interrogate information out of them where their supplies are. And people can, if they shoot you, it'll stop the interrogation. And you have to interrogate like 5 times. It doesn't even be anyone on the enemy team, it just has to be 5 times. And then once you do that, it locates their safe. And it's on the map. So then they have to go and defend it, and you have to go up to it and hold triangle to break it open, and it slowly fills this meter, and there's two little tick marks on it to where if you go like if you get a third of it filled up, it'll stop there if you die. If you don't, it'll just go back to being empty and you have to start over. But it looked like a cool game topic. I know Achievement Hunter from Rooster Teeth, they did a Let's Play in Last of Us, and their part two had a they played Interrogation. Oh, I'm getting a phone call. I don't have time for this. I'm just gonna pause that. I thought it was my alarm. I was like, my stuff shouldn't be done yet. I got like 8 minutes or something. But and I did play the Survivors mode, which is that, you have one life on that round, and then it's like you have to win 4 rounds and to win the whole match.
Yeah, I love those ones.
Those are like, but I do like Supply Raid.
Yeah. They're all pretty good game modes, which I never expected, but they definitely are.
I hate the bow. That thing pissed me off.
Do you hate it because it's good or?
Yeah, I guess because people can use it without unlocking it first, because they have you can use that stealth class, and it's just like when we were playing Survivors, it was like 3 of the 4 people on the other team would just use that build. So then it's like, okay, so one, they won't show up on sneak, but I don't show up on sneak either because I have the perk that stops it. And then and all they use are bows, and it's like that I feel like even with armor, like 2 shots from the bow will take me down.
Yeah, the bow's ridiculously powerful.
I think it's the fact because you draw it back to like super fast. Like the draw speed on it is way too quick. And I don't know if that's because that's the setup for that class and that's not actually how long it takes. If you get it the first time and you have to like upgrade it, but yeah, the draw speed and the distance, like the range on that thing is like out of control. But I love the Enforcer. That's like my favorite gun to use. But let's see here. My alarm's gonna go off in a couple minutes, but that'll be fine. I'm trying to see if you get it on PS4, let me know, and then try to get you. I'll get you to
Oh,
play
I'll
sometime.
definitely get it on PS4. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
Like right now, it's pretty much waiting for Destiny to come out. I really want to, I don't know. I keep having like debates with myself over whether or not I want to buy the white Destiny bundle or whether I don't really need it. Like I really want it, but already having a PS4, it's kind of tough to justify that.
Yeah. I like that they had to cancel, like all these retailers had to cancel their, Ghost editions
I
because
don't
they
get why the limited editions are so popular.
well everybody probably wants it, but it's like these retailers need to understand that when we say they're limited, like you get X amount of consoles, they just take reservations, they don't care because a reserve like to them isn't an allocation of product. And it's like, oh, we don't have enough because we had so many people, we let so many people do this, so we're gonna have to cancel a bunch of them. Like that, it's like you guys got to work out your system better. It's a limited edition for a reason. And we're not going to just manufacture more for you because you overbooked reserves.
Well, it's because reserves haven't mattered for a long time. I mean, can you remember the last game that you actually had to reserve to get a copy of it?
Well, n not a game, but I mean a collector's edition, sure, if there's only like X amount in production. They had that thing with Ni No Kuni, where that one, it was like that one site or whatever was like taking reservations or was taking reserves for another site, but they were saying they had more than they did, and then they had to cancel some people's reserves on that game, on that collector's edition of it. And then of course I think it was the either the publisher felt bad about it or something, like I forget what happened there, but that was an issue where they
I do remember that.
Yeah, but I mean typically collector's edition are like it's rare to ever have a like limited collector's edition. I think the only ones I can think of are like Diablo 3. And typically it's a lot of times it's you can order the limited edition between X date and Y date. Uh-huh. And it's like whatever's pre-ordered then will be manufactured. And then a lot of times it's also like, oh, a pseudo limited edition will be available to the people that buy it in the first week. And then after that will be a standalone, but those don't come with anything. But like traditional collector's editions, I feel like it either has, they're actually limited, or it's just you have to get it between a certain time. And then no matter how many people get it within that time, they'll manufacture that many.
Yeah, I guess like the thing with Destiny is I don't really find any of the special editions that interesting. And if you do, that's fine. But mm-hmm. I looked at them and they even say, you know, right on the package that it's items that are going to be exclusive to you only for a short while.
Yeah.
Like they don't make any promises about it being like a permanent exclusive thing. They don't say anything else like that. So
mm-hmm.
It didn't really bother me that much.
Yeah, I'm really not into limited editions. I mean, I had purchased a couple like back in the day just because, I don't know why. It was like first party games, I figured, you know, I'll support them and get this limited edition one, but I traditionally don't.
The biggest ones that I love are the metal cases. Those are the only like collectors or limited editions I really love getting.
I don't mind metal cases. I just don't like when, like if it's like the Beyond Two Souls I have is like it's a metal case. And I don't know why. I think it was like the first couple came out like that or whatever. And then I'll, like if it's a game that's its own one in that series, that's okay. But then like when I bought the Uncharted 3 collector's or Adventures Edition, whatever it's called, it was like that was a metal case, but that metal case doesn't match Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2.
That's what happened with Dark Souls and Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, and I don't like that because one of my favorite metal cases was a Final Fantasy 12. That was one of my favorite ones back on PS2. But I wouldn't mind if it had the same cover art that
I kind of wish there was a set standard for metal cases.
Yeah.
So that they were unique among all PS3 and PS4 games. They were something like a set size, but still a collector's edition item.
Mm-hmm. I had thought about when I originally bought my Uncharted 3 collectors. I asked them, hey, when you guys get a used copy in, can I just swap cases with you at some point? And they're like, yeah, that's fine. But I never went back and did that just because I wanted that box art. And you get some collector's editions really don't even come with a case. Like the disc is in the booklet. They did that with Batman Arkham City, I think.
Did they?
Yeah, there was one. It was like you didn't get, or you got a case, but there was no cover art. So you can print out, like IGN like posted an image that you can print out to be the cover art because the cover art was so cool.
That would bother me.
Anyway, let's go on to this email here. I had an email, or not an email. It's a comment that was from Jason on the last podcast. He said, I want a blogcast focused on Twitch and what it takes to get a solid stream going. Twitch is taking over, and I see a lot of users streaming on PS3, PS4 with no idea of what they're doing. I thought it was an interesting comment on what he wanted to have. I do watch a lot of Twitch. I typically don't watch people on PS3 or PS4. I usually watch StarCraft 2 on Twitch. But I feel like that, along with YouTube videos in general, kind of run under the same structure, depending on what you're going for. It all kind of depends. I mean, do you want to be someone who, there's people that have personality, who you, that's why you'll watch their stuff. There's people who will show themselves while they do whatever game it is, and there's people that just play a game and play music. Like for StarCraft, there's only a few people I watch. Like one, I narrowed down to the race I play, so Zerg, and then I only watch people who typically do commentary with what they're doing and who will chat back with the audience. I don't like watching people who just play music, because I, like with music in general, I typically won't care what music you're listening to. I'll just mute it. And if I'm not watching a tournament, then there's usually no other reason I'm watching. And I usually only watch game videos of stuff that isn't live, because I don't like going to the internet when the internet tells me to go to it. To me, it's video is something that I want to do when I want to do it.
Fight the internet, JCM.
Well, it's like, you know, when they go, oh, tune into this live. It's like, no, I'll just wait till it's done and watch the video when I want to later. I mean, that's what Hulu and Netflix is, and that's why I like YouTube videos. Like, add them to watch later. I don't have to watch something live. I just watch it. Oh, you know, they put out a Let's Play of The Last of Us on Achievement Hunter. I'll add this to my list and watch it when I exercise or something. I don't like going to things when they tell me to, usually. And Twitch is one of those things where, which is unfortunate, because that's the issue I have with StarCraft 2 tournaments, is there's so many tournaments across the world in different time zones. It's like, oh, they're having one in Cologne right now, or they're having one in Barcelona, and it's like, well, the time zone ends up being all funky, so I have to, like, if I watch, like, oh, I'm watching this tournament in the morning, or this tournament's in the afternoon, it's basically like, I guess, watching football when you're in Hawaii, and you have to wake up at crazy hours. Or if you're watching the World Cup, I suppose, and it's hosted in a country that's not your time zone.
I feel like the most successful Twitch channels, though, are either people that have a very unique personality that's incredibly entertaining, people that give away stuff, or people that are just incredibly good at a video game. Like, speedrunners always have popular channels if they're really good at speedrunning a video game. The unique personalities always have a lot of people. It's really just some combination of those.
Yeah, and sticking with what Jason was saying, just PS3 and PS4, like, we'll just go off just PS4. Like, when you're Twitch streaming on PS4, there's no ad revenue. So you're not making money, because you're not running ads, versus if you were to do Twitch for something else on a computer. So you're not doing it for the money, and trying to make, like, a living off it or anything, which usually only professional gamers will get that done. But then on, I feel like on PS4, you're limited to the library, what your shtick is, and if you use the camera, and how much you interact with the audience. And I mean, I've watched some streams just to see the quality and see how these people are streaming. Like, oh, this guy is playing Battlefield, I'll watch him. I'll see what his style is and how he interacts with the people that are talking. And it's really kind of up to the individual and what you want to do. Do you want to just stream a game and watch people play it? I mean, the problem is you have to build an audience, but you build that audience over time. I mean, it's not like you can just start streaming your PS4 game and then bam, you have a ton of Pichu watching you try to not starve on Don't Starve. You know,
consistency helps a lot.
Yeah. And, like, I wanted to Twitch. I thought it'd be fun to stream me playing Outlast, because I borrowed my cousin's camera. But I'm not going to be able to just get people to suddenly start watching me play this game and get freaked out, because I don't have a fan base.
I would watch you play the game and get freaked out.
like my cousin, for example, he makes a good thing you can do is go off of YouTube content. Like my roommate made a ton of Battlefield 3 videos back in the day, and then he eventually started posting a bunch of wrestling videos on WWE video games, and he got a bunch of people that started watching his videos because of his WWE stuff. So he has a fan base there, and he makes money from the ad revenue and that stuff. He has a ton of followers who like watching his wrestling videos, so that's his thing, would be wrestling. Now he can transition that to streaming if he wanted, and people would probably tune in. Like, if he told them, like, he put out a video saying, hey, in an hour I'm going to start streaming you know, WWE 2K15, and then people can tune in and watch him play a game live while commentating. But that's something he built off the back of his YouTube fan base. Yeah, it's really hard to just start right away. And traditionally, like I said, with streams, if it's a game that people can't necessarily learn from, like, for example, going back to StarCraft 2, you could watch it and not necessarily care about the commenter or the music, but you just watch the strategy and see, like, that, like, especially if you're not at that skill level, like, you can learn stuff like, oh, you can learn timings, you can learn build orders, you can learn about the game. That's why I like watching StarCraft, because you're constantly learning from it. But you can't necessarily do something like that on a game like Battlefield, where it's, you just see people either working together, or there's one guy who's streaming, he's just running around tearing shit up. It's like, you don't really learn to play the game like that, because it's not a zero-sum game like StarCraft. It's a team game. So you traditionally watch something like that if there's a commenter or a guy who is streaming and also interacting with the people who are watching, which is usually what you see on most of the PS4 streams, is people who are interacting with the commenters and also have, you know, having a camera on, I guess, is a good thing to do. But yes, I'd say if you're gonna start, definitely interact with the audience if there's people watching, but it's, you're not gonna get people right away. And the problem with Twitch on PS4 is you can't, I don't think they archive yet, I think they're working on it, but you can't archive your videos, so you won't have a backlog for stuff to people to watch. I feel like on a console, the scary games would be the ones that would attract the biggest audience, I guess. And then also just single player gameplay, like people usually like watching walkthroughs of a video game that maybe they're not going to get, and they just want to see someone play through the story, or someone who is on the fence, or maybe they've like a, or it's like a puzzle game, like maybe you're streaming the Swapper, like we beat it, so maybe we'd go back and watch people and see like how quickly they solve a puzzle. But then that kind of would drive me insane, 'cause I'd be like, it's right there. But that's kind of how you feel when you watch someone play Portal after you play Portal, and you're like, you can do this, but you can't tell them.
I'm thinking the main Let's Play things and the main videos and things I watch are either streams or not streams, speedruns, or I watch streams of like new horror games that just came out to see other people's reactions and get a feel for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I also use streams as a very good indicator of whether or not I want to buy a game, because I don't really rent things anymore to test that out. Mm-hmm. I'll either wait for it to drop in price, or if it's something I'm interested in where I know the first, you know, hour or so won't spoil me, I'll watch a stream to see if the game looks interesting or if it holds up.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever I watch like a Let's Play, like Achievement Hunter, like I said, Rooster Teeth puts out a ton of Let's Plays, but I only ever watch the ones that are games I care about. So like I said, I'll watch The Last of Us, or they did one the other day where it was they played Diablo 3 on hardcore mode, and then there's like four of them, and they played till they died. And so like I watched that kind of in my, and I don't, typically I'm not just spending, that's not all I'm doing. Like I'll have the Diablo 3 on, one on, but I'm also maybe browsing the web, or I'm playing Final Fantasy 14. And like I said, when I watch The Last of Us ones, I'm usually, maybe I'm working out or I'm on the treadmill or something. Like I'm just watching it while I'm doing something else. I don't think I could just sit there and just watch someone stream. I'd be doing other things at the same time.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to multitask. I couldn't just watch a stream.
Yeah, even the tournaments I watch, like I'll stop for a sec to watch that match, but typically I might have something else open. But
it could be the most amazing stream in the world, but it's not going to hold my attention versus other things.
Mm-hmm. I also prefer watching videos over streams because they can edit. I like watching the edited content and stuff, and especially when it's like going back to Achievement Hunter, when it's, you know, six people and they all have different video feeds, they cut back and forth between each person and you have all the audio from each of them, and it's the personalities that you're also watching it for and how they're reacting to a game. I mean, it's like The Last of Us multiplayer is awesome, but watching them play it and like just having so much fun, it's like you just like, oh man, I gotta play this game now. But
I don't
Like I
know.
said.
I kind of take the other approach of I like watching something live because it feels more like you're seeing it for the first time as opposed to something that's been staged. But I do understand why you like video streams instead,
Yeah.
or rather archived videos and edited videos.
Yeah, like I said, and I hardly ever watch Twitch because I only watch the things that like I'd have no reason to watch someone play Battlefield or someone play Assassin's Creed. I own the games. I want to play those. I only watch StarCraft because I can learn from it because I really like StarCraft and it's a zero sum. So you lose because you made a mistake, not because a teammate made a mistake. It's like it's 1-0. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna stream, it's just try to be consistent. You know, like I said, if you can get a camera, I'd say definitely do that, but at least have the audio, some way to interact with the people. And
Being an attractive woman also helps on Twitch.
that too, lots of cleavage. No.
So
But
rock that cleavage, Jason.
man, there's this guy on Twitch who streams StarCraft and he looks like I did 8 years ago. Like when I had long hair and he has long, like the same, like he looks almost exactly like him. It's really creepy. Like I was browsing, I was like, who the hell is this guy? He looks just like me.
Maybe you have a long lost twin who also
Maybe.
plays video games.
Yeah, and usually just stick with the genre that you like. Like I said, back to consistency. If you like first person shooters, try to only stream FPS games. But like I said, definitely on console, I feel like Twitch, you should be talkative. Don't just play and have nothing. Like you should say something like, you know, maybe comment on, I like using this gun or I like using this setup or like, try not to be, I guess, negative as well. Like that's always kind of like, oh, this is my fucking teammate. You know, guy's just being a total douchebag. He's not playing the fucking objective.
Although
You know.
there are some Twitch personalities that are famous because they're so mean and douchey to everybody.
Of course. But, you know, if people, I mean, who
But
knows?
don't
If
be one
people
of
like,
those guys.
if people like tuning in because you do that, then go ahead. But, yeah, I mean, and it's like I said, and back to consistency, if you're going to stream, try to stream around the same time every time. Try not to be random. That way people know, like, oh, there's this thing that's live, but it's always at between, you know, da 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 and da da da. So maybe I can't watch it today, but tomorrow I'm going to be free between that time, so I'll watch it. I guess you can kind of link in social media, I suppose. I mean, if you want to try to get bigger, like, hey, follow me on Twitter if you want to find out when I'm going live. I mean, that's what anybody else who streams live, they do that. They'll post on Twitter and stuff like, hey, I'm going live with blah, blah, blah video game. And you can watch them. But, yeah, it takes time. And you just got to keep going at them. Just like I said, just be consistent. You can change up the game you play. Just, you know, be mindful of your audience because they're the ones who, you know, are watching.
And if you
So.
ever get famous, give your money to JCM and Disley.
And then, no, you don't have to do that. But I guess you could. No. Like I said, there's no ad revenue on PS4 because you can't run any ads on there. It'd be cool if
If
you
you
could run,
get
like.
famous, I'm sure if you got famous, you could transition to an ad revenue one on the PC.
Yeah, and then transition. Yeah, there you go. Go to PC. Start streaming on there and do some crazy setup to stream. Yeah, so I guess I mean hopefully that's what Jason wanted. That's some basic advice. Like I said, it's different broadcasting on PC versus console, but the basics are essentially the same. So yeah, I mean if anybody's out there doing Twitch, I hope they learn something, I guess. But I often thought about doing a podcast stream on Twitch like for a game and then doing giveaways either game or gift cards or something like that, but that'd be hard to get, I guess, people to tune in. First I have to find the time that people would be on, and it's like, you know,
That'd be tricky.
yeah, it'd be tough. Or make sure I stream for a long enough time that people can get on there a sec, I guess, like, oh, every half hour I'm doing a giveaway, but you know, or I don't know, like someone randomly in chat will get something. Anyway, I guess that'll wrap it up since there's nothing really else. We need a secret word. What should the Secret word B.
Gamescom 2014.
Gamescom 2014.
All to right. Remind everybody that it's coming up soon and they should watch.
Gamescom. Damn it. Computer tries to spaces it. No. Gamescom. One word. 2014. So space 2014. All right. Gamescom 2014. And it's not con.
By the time this podcast goes up, it should be basically Gamescom time.
Yeah, just about. But, all right. Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you, Isley. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Later.